Human Strong, presented in partnership with Bayridge Counseling Centers. And now, this week's conversation.
I'm Richard Huskisson, and I'm talking again with Steve Wilding, a registered psychotherapist with Bayridge Counseling Centers. Steve, how are you doing?
Doing okay. How about yourself?
Doing well, thank you. Well, we're going to get into this. We're talking about how to talk with your teens when they are struggling. I'm familiar with struggling teenagers, as I'm sure any parent of a teen is. So how does a parent initiate any kind of conversation with their struggling teen, especially if they're having trouble getting them to respond?
Always a tricky question. So there's two things in here I like to cover. And the first is understanding first why our teenagers might have some fears of wanting to talk with us. And the second is ways to get them going. The first is just some quick little points on that. Teens often fear talking to their parents about struggles and difficulties. One, because there's a perception that parents are always right and I am always wrong. I bring something up, they're right, I don't have any input. The second is that fear that parents just don't understand me. My circumstances are unfamiliar and they may not understand. And the third is, fear of punishment. If I make a mistake and I go and talk to my parents about it, I'm going to get into trouble and I don't want that. So one of the ways to try to start breaching some of that gap to get that conversation rolling is first, don't blame the teenage years. There's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of growth, a lot of development, and it's really easy for us to say, you're just a teenager, this will pass, and all that kind of stuff. And so in there, we want to make sure that we're kind of picking our battles. Right? We can get too hung up on sorting out the little things and trying to figure out just I don't like this, I don't like that, which can be perceived as nagging, and then they just stop listening to us. So choose our conversations, choose our battles wisely. Mm-hmm. The second is, in conversation, is practice active listening. A lot of times we're coming in trying to fix the problem when really our teenagers just need somebody to express what they're going through. And it's okay that we as parents don't have all the answers. We can honestly say, I don't know, but let's try and find somebody who might. Giving our teenagers a little bit of independence and space when they're sorting through some of their problems, encouraging them to think through the results rather than just giving them the result, right? We don't need to always have that answer for them. Ask more questions as opposed to offering solutions, open-ended questions. Avoiding the power struggles is probably a big one that I see, where we say, do this just because I'm the parent and I say so. Or, you're angry, so I'm responding in anger. So in avoiding our power struggles, we also tend to react to our teenagers' emotions with our own emotions. We get angry in response, which just keeps escalating our conversations and our disagreements more and more and more. So we want to do our best to remain in control of our emotions and display that support and empathy and listening ear that our teenagers are looking for. Other kind of small tidbits of ways to help foster long-term communication are things like carving out dedicated time. Eating dinner together is a great one that I come back to more and more and more, of getting off the couch or, everyone just going off to their own thing and sitting together. We also want to make sure that we foster a healthy relationship, right? Relationship is priority, even over things like grades and chores and scheduling that we have. The time being with our teens is much more impactful than how we're trying to guide their grades at school. And the last one for there that I have is to be aware of our parental responses to difficulty. From the get-go, we are caregivers and we are protectors, right? We have this little tiny baby that's helpless and we do everything for and with them. And as they grow and they become more independent, it's really hard sometimes as a parent to let go of that response of, my child is in trouble, I need to help. And it often kicks us into finishing sentences in our heads and our emotions before our children even get through what they're struggling with. Dad, I didn't do so well on my test. And our first instinct is, see, I knew you're not studying enough. When all they really need is some listening ear and support and advice to reassure them that they're working towards their goals.
Right, because it's not the end of the journey when you're a teenager. It's just the beginning.
Just the beginning. Just a small chapter in a bigger book.
Okay. Now, this is an interesting element to this, because a lot of us will remember what it was like when we were teenagers growing up, how our parents engaged with us in conversation. But we have a whole lot more technology right now. So what are some of the benefits or pitfalls that you might run into with these conversations in the age of texting?
A benefit is that we can reach out and connect with our children and teens wherever they are, whenever they are, assuming they respond, of course. So we have the option to stay connected. Very frequently now, I've seen quite a bit as young kids are venturing out and doing their own thing. We have means to keep track of where they are, to make sure that they're safe, to make sure that they're following some of those boundaries. So there are a lot of benefits to just staying in contact. The obvious downfall to all of that is that it's very, very easy for our children and our teenagers to kind of get sucked into that and disconnect from the world around them, specifically in the home. So one of the big ones in there is going back to establishing very healthy boundaries around technology.
Right. So make sure that they know when and where it's appropriate to communicate through technology and where and when it's more appropriate to communicate face-to-face.
Absolutely. And some of the base guidelines for there is even just being open and honest about them or with them about what those times may be. Right. Big news, happy events, personal details, emotional experiences. Those are great ones and important ones to communicate in person, that not only just to help build the connection with another individual, but also because texting, there's no emotion involved. We do our best to maybe throw in an emoji here and there to let people know how we feel, but it's a very open door to misinterpretation.
Right. So less nuance about the texts.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, hopefully that information helps out the parents and the teenagers as well. And of course, if you want to know more about Human Strong, you can find that at humanstrong.ca. And Steve Wilding with Bay Ridge Counseling Centers, you've got the website, bayridgecounselingcenters.ca, and people can get in touch with you through that if they need your particular help.
Absolutely, they can.
All right, Steve, thanks for joining us again. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Human Strong. Remember, we're all in this together. We are Human Strong.